Susan, Butcher Box to the rescue. The other night we had some friends over for dinner and we had no idea what to make. And I was like, guess what? We have a freezer full of meat. So my husband went down and thawed out some chicken from Butcher Box and made the best coq au vin that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, you'd have been screwed without Butcher Box because I know you ain't got no time to go to the store right now.
That's true. I don't have time to go shop for meat or pick out the meat or find the best quality, low-priced meat. So ButcherBox does all of that for me.
So, true story, my husband's workplace has a Slack channel called Smoked Meats. And I know you can't like win a workplace conversation, but he is now because with Butcher Box, his great cuts of meat to the door, they can cook up and take photos of for his workmates.
I love ButcherBox, and I think other people would too.
ButcherBox is the ultimate convenience, delivered right to your doorstep, free shipping always, with curated, customized box plans.
It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork, raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood.
There are a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value with exclusive membership deals. They also provide recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks.
Sign up at butcherbox.com/proof and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off.
Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/proof and use code PROOF to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order. If you're listening to this show, then I'm going to guess you're a fan of true crime podcasts. So in the mornings, grab your favorite mug and pour yourself a dose of spine-tingling true crime every AM with Morning Cup of Murder. It's a short daily show that's the perfect podcast to incorporate into your morning routine. In less than 15 minutes, you'll hear about a true crime that took place on today's date in history. Each day's dark history lesson will kickstart your morning with intriguing tales of murder, abduction, serial killers, cults, and more.
So, pour yourself a piping hot cup of murder every single morning with Morning Cup of Murder. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to this week's Sidebar. We're here to discuss episode 13 of season 2 of Proof. I'm here with Jacinda and Kevin.
Hey, Susan, how are you?
Susan.
So our first question today comes from Renee's friend Amber, and she writes, "Did I hear Kevin in the background say you can do better after Tim asked Susan out?"
I will preface this by saying that we hung out with Amber a few times, so she understands my sense of humor, and I never miss an opportunity to put Susan and Jacinda in their place.
I will say that Tim was a gentleman and defended me and told you you were being mean.
Yeah, and that was after you refused his advances, Susan. So,
I don't think that that even came close to the aggressive comment that you had, saying that Lewis had suggested that Jacinda was old.
he did say that.
he did not say that. I think we need to go back and check the
He said I had a fat ass, though.
audio. Unfortunately, that's a moment where we weren't recording, right? So I guess it's your memory versus my memory.
So we've talked about Tim Fisher on the show before, but this episode was the first time we actually sat down and talked to Tim for ourselves. As you heard in the show, the interview was somewhat spur of the moment. We hadn't planned on talking to him that day, got the chance and jumped on it. And I think we all sort of realized as the interview went on that we may not have been entirely prepared for it yet.
Yeah, it's interesting when you sit down with someone who you're just trying to get a feel for what they know. And I don't think that we were entirely prepared with all the facts of the case to maybe ask him everything we wanted to at that particular moment. And I think for me, I was looking at it as more of gathering information and getting an understanding of who Tim Fisher was, whose name appears in the police file a few times.
Yeah, I agree. We weren't planning on doing it. We went over and we had decided, sort of like, well, let's just see what he has to say. Like, we don't know enough information ourselves yet to really ask the questions or confront him on anything. So let's see what he knows. And I think as we talked to him, we realized that he knew more than we expected, especially in terms of just his relationship or friendship with Renee.
Now, obviously, by the time we actually talked to him, we'd had a very good indication he actually did know Renee. Before that, if we'd gone in there and he'd said, "Oh, I only saw Renee in passing. I didn't really know her, never really talked to her," at that moment, we would not be able to challenge him. We would have probably believed him. Well, mostly, other than the fact we heard him talking earlier about her on the phone with Lewis. And walking in to have him instead say, "No, I love that girl. She was a good friend of mine. I gave her rides all the time. Oh, and by the way, I knew the sisters," was kind of the moment for me when I realized, well, okay, so everything we've heard in the file, like all those stories there, actually could have happened. Like that's totally plausible.
Yeah, and plausible in the sense that Renee could have ended up at the sister's house. Like before, that was sort of the missing piece of the puzzle. Like, how would she have even ended up there?
No, the idea of her ending up there is not difficult at all. She sees her good friend Tim. Tim's going to go hang out with sisters because he's staying there at the time.
It became very clear to me about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so into the conversation with Tim Fisher that I was already thinking about a second conversation.
For me, it was when he said, "I had some friends back then. I know a guy named Eric Greer." Like, what an interesting name to choose randomly.
I think what also became clear to me during the conversation is that as much as we were trying to see what kind of information Tim Fisher might have about Renee or about any of the relationships among people in the town, is Tim Fisher was also very curious to see what kind of information we had and to learn a little bit about us.
My guess is still that there were several points he assumed we had more info than we did.
Yes.
And he thought he was getting ahead of things by confirming a story he knew he wanted to ask about when we didn't even know to ask about it.
It was an awkward conversation at a certain point because
He never asked you out.
that could have even been less awkward than some of the other things that took place. But it was an awkward conversation in the sense that it was very friendly, and I had no reason for it to not be friendly. But it was clear that we needed to do a little more research to have a more in-depth conversation with him. And
You're also hoping that you'll actually get a second opportunity, and you
that's
have
right.
to make those kind of decisions on the fly. Like, is it worth risking not having a second chance with him to let him just keep talking, or do we not take that risk? And in this situation, we decide, hey, let's see if we can get him sit down with us again.
Yeah, we couldn't ask the questions we needed to ask and be able to back it up with what we knew for sure at that time. We needed to know more than he did, essentially, before we started asking those questions.
It was certainly an intense grilled cheese that I had that day.
Hey, everyone. Before we continue with this episode, I want to tell you about another podcast. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to watch your house burn down or be attacked by an alligator or learn that your spouse hired someone to kill you? If you're dying to know, then What Was That Like is the podcast for you. What Was That Like is filled with real stories about the most surreal experiences of people's lives. On the show, host Scott Johnson dives deep with his guests into the unbelievable situations they found themselves in, like animal attacks, plane crashes, winning The Price is Right, and more. The show brings you tons of completely surreal, completely true stories, all told through the lens of the person who actually experienced it.
Check out some of these episodes about wild and gripping stories to gain some insight on what it was like to, say, be a professional bridesmaid or lose a leg in a shark attack.
Susan, I think you'd be a really good professional bridesmaid.
And you'd be really good at losing a leg in a shark attack.
Oh, gee, thanks.
So if you want to hear some disturbing and inspiring firsthand stories, you need to check out What Was That Like? Every story is thoroughly researched and fact-checked, so you know even the most bizarre tales are someone's reality. Listen to What Was That Like on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, do you have trouble sleeping? Then maybe you should check out the Sleepy Podcast. It's a show where I read old books in the public domain to help you get to sleep. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of classic stories like A Tale of Two Cities, Pride and Prejudice, Winnie the Pooh. Stories that are great for adults and kids alike. For years now, Sleepy has helped millions of people catch some much-needed Z's, start their next day off fresh, and discover old books that they didn't know they loved. So, whether you have a tough time snoozing or you just like a good bedtime story, fluff up the cool side of your pillow, and tune into Sleepy. Unless you're driving, then please don't listen to Sleepy. Find Sleepy on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes each week. Sweet dreams.
Oh, I have another comment that a listener shared on Twitter that I want to share with y'all. Derek E. wrote, "I'm glad you guys have Kevin and Dan around with you while speaking to these weirdos."
Okay.
Hold up.
Let's just set the record straight here.
Yeah, you guys are very fortunate to have the two of us in your corner. Sure.
I was on a shoot, not a proof shoot. I was on another shoot with Dan once, and the interview got a little heated. It turned out fine. But afterwards, we were at dinner, and I asked Dan, like, what was your plan? Like, what was your plan if things got, you know, dicey? His plan was to push the camera onto the interview subject and run out the back door and leave me in the room to fend for myself. So,
yeah, I thought that was quite a brazen take he had on the situation.
Well, that brings us to another question from someone who wrote in. I would like to ask on this week's sidebar, one, how many times have Susan and Jacinda been hit on while conducting an interview? And two, how many times, to their knowledge, have they been referred to as prostitutes while conducting an interview?
I like that, to their knowledge. The answer to the first question is probably a little more often than you expect. The answer to the second is never, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I would say the answer to the first question is that we are so, I mean, let's just put it out there. We're both so socially awkward. I'm not sure we would even know if we're being hit on unless it was completely blatant.
Like an 80-year-old cop.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Kevin probably can weigh in more because you're often there with us, but.
Yeah, I have noticed over the many, many years that I've known Jacinda that the people who perhaps do hit on her tend to be retired police officers who.
Don't downplay her. Jacinda has old cop games.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there was the time actually in Rome where you two were inside a police officer's house and I was outside, so we didn't overwhelm this guy and his wife wanted to know what was going on.
That's true.
I was like two women inside her home. Yeah. I told her I'm sure it was all above board.
And then we also have a question to like jump back an episode, but I think it's worth bringing up because maybe, you know, it's something we can clear up. Someone wrote in, my question, and I'm sure I just somehow missed it, is why was Josh never considered a suspect? If he knows some of the details that were accurate, why wasn't he treated like a suspect?
So the answer is, one, he was considered a suspect in that we did definitely have that as a possibility. It wasn't something we dismissed before looking into it. But two, Josh didn't know any details. That's kind of why he is not a suspect, because nothing he says is right. Everything he says is not backed up by the facts, not backed up by other witnesses or by reality. And although somehow that testimony was enough to get convictions at trial, from an objective standpoint, there is not a reason to believe that he had any information about the murder beyond what anyone in Manteca would have had from hearing it on the news.
And beyond our investigation, though, what about the detectives not treating him like a suspect? Like he could have been charged with like accessory to a crime or something like that.
At the same time, I actually think that the prosecutor hints fairly directly at a few points at trial that the reason Josh is lying is because he was involved. And it's a better explanation for why he's lying than the other stuff they suggest. But there's no evidence for it. Like, the thing is, Josh doesn't know anything. Renee was not strangled with a bra. She was not beaten to death. Like, nothing he has said is ever actually matched up with reality.
And then one more Josh question, since we're talking about him. Someone asked, why can't Jake get a new trial based on Josh changing his story so many times?
Because recanting witnesses in general aren't a reason to grant a new trial, and especially not in this case when he recanted before the trial. So the jury heard him recant and still convicted Jake. So there is no court in America that will consider that reason to reconsider the conviction. I mean, it's a reason they shouldn't have tried him in the first place, but, you know, too late for that.
Once it's done, it's done. There was no question that he had changed his story. The jury knew that. He said he was lying. The prosecutor leans into it, saying, "We all know Josh is lying, so there's nothing there now that could help in terms of a new trial for Jake."
But it is a reminder that sometimes juries don't necessarily need a whole lot to convict. And a 14-year-old boy who admits he's lying can be enough to send someone to prison for life, or two people to prison for life until they're murdered.
When it comes to Josh, we're pretty confident about his involvement, or should we call it lack of involvement. But leaving the Tim Fisher interview, we weren't as confident about anything, and we knew we needed to find out more information. So we left the interview, thinking he might meet us the next day, and canceled. And we were kind of grateful for that because it wouldn't have given us enough time to do the research we needed to do. So, but it did influence the course of our investigation a little bit. We knew we need to focus a little bit more on the sister story, which you'll hear about in the next episode, what we were able to learn more about and some of the things Tim told us about. But we also had to continue to chase leads on Jared Conway.
Jared Conway, of course, is the serial sex offender who is currently in prison in California for a 2008 abduction with intent to rape, who lived very close to Renee, very close to Home Depot. And he was someone else who we first started to investigate. It was the same thing as Tim, like, okay, here's a weird story. Let's go look at it. And then suddenly, as we're looking into it, we realize we cannot rule it out. And also, there's some interesting stuff here to consider further.
You've been listening to Proof Sidebar, a podcast by Red Marble Media in association with Glass Box Media. Send us your questions and comments at proofcrimepod@gmail.com. Follow us everywhere with the handle @proofcrimepod and on our website, proofcrimepod.com. Regular episodes drop on Mondays, and you can find sidebars on Thursdays. Thanks so much for listening.